and maybe not just exactly, you never do anything quite the same twice, but I need to use it again tonight. Genesis 21 and verse number 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed. And wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water was spent in the bottle. She cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask God to touch us, Lord? Thank you for the Spirit of God that we've already felt in this house. Lord, I'm asking you right now, would you anoint my lips of clay? Let me be a conduit of the Holy Ghost into this house. Let my words be seasoned with the anointing of heaven. Lord, open every ear in this house to hear the Word of God. Lord, we need a revival more than we ever have probably before in my lifetime, I'm sure. I'm asking you, God, would you move on us tonight? Quicken every one of us by your Spirit and by your power. And everybody said together, amen and amen. I have kind of struggled, and it's a little bit odd because it's usually not a struggle of mine, to come up with a title, and that's usually an easy part for me, it seems like, but I have struggled just a tense here and with this on a title, and so I've got some things in my mind, and they may come to me in the middle of this, and I might figure it out, but I'm going to preach to you a little bit, and then Mr. Soundman, I'll probably come off with a title after a while, hallelujah, if the Lord will help me. This story is very interesting to me, and there's some things about it that I'd like to kind of lay some foundation and get out of the way. And one of them is that the misconception that Ishmael was a baby. That's not so. If you'll do some studying, you'll find out that Ishmael was actually probably between 14 and 16 years old when this transpired here. And I know some people have mistook where he put the bottle of water on her shoulder as being the child, but Ishmael was too big to have been carried around by Hagar at this point in time. They have left the household of Abraham under less than stellar situation, you might want to say, and they are wandering in the wilderness of Beersheba. We get all shook up sometimes, and we sang a little song, I don't know, maybe you've sang it here through the years, but where I was raised, we get tore up every once in a while and sing a little of, how did you feel when you came out of the wilderness? And because most all of us, at some time or another in our spiritual life, have wandered through places that we would have considered wildernesses. And places where it seemed like we were alone, where it seemed like we were isolated, it seemed like there wasn't any help from anywhere, and we were just in those places, and no doubt every one of us have questioned why we got in those spots. I've heard people make odd statements in my life, and they've said things like, I wish God would show me the next 10 years of my life. And most of the time I look at them and say, that's absolutely not true. If God showed you the next 10 years of your life without the grace of God, you would go out and jump off the first bridge you came to. Because all the things that you may face in the next 10 years, you don't have the grace to deal with that right now. When most of us look back over the past 10 years of our life, somebody would have told us all of those things was going to transpire, we'd have been at the nut house. We'd have signed our own self in and got us some medicine and sat down and said, there ain't no way I can handle that. But I'm going to tell you something. We're all here tonight, and it's not because the past has been easy, but it is because Christ has always been there for us when we needed Him. Can you say amen? In every wilderness you've ever found yourself, you have somewhere in that wilderness eventually found that God was there. Hallelujah. And the help of God was there. But they're in the wilderness. They've got a bottle of water and bread. They're wandering around. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how long it was. All the Bible says is that the water was spent in the bottle. Didn't say anything about them running out of bread, but they ran out of water. And most everybody here knows you got to have water to survive. How many knows what water is a type of in the Word of God? It's a type of the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost. Now, I do realize you can get too carried away with types, but that's a pretty good, and it stays pretty true to course, that water is a type of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you something. If there's a day that I've ever seen in my life when I walk into churches and look around and I say, my God, it looks like the water is spent in the bottle, and I don't know what we're going to do from here. I heard an old preacher say one time, he said God could die and be dead for a month before most of our churches figured out He'd even died. And the reason is, he was saying that, is because we've got used to going through a form and a ritual, and we've got things set up, and we know how to have church. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, brother, we're needing more than that in this day and hour. We're needing more than three songs and a testimony. We're needing a move of the Holy Ghost to reveal to us again how to find the well. Somebody say amen. The Word of God says, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. I don't believe those wells are blocked up. I don't believe the devil has them. I just believe it's time we beat a trail back to where they are. I'm a hunter. I don't apologize for that. If that bothers you, I'm not sorry. If you're a vegetarian, all that means to me is you're a bad hunter. That's all that means. Hallelujah. And when I go to the woods, there are years when I go there, and there's a water hole, and that water hole is carrying good water. And before I ever get there, there's been many a times in the West when I was hunting in elk country, a long time before I ever got to a water hole, I knew there was water ahead of me because of the trail that I was on. I need to preach to y'all a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. I knew that I was going toward water because the trail I was on was all beat out. And before I ever found it, I knew I'm fixing to find a dynamite spot around here, because water's like gold in that country. I'm fixing to find a good place. I've went there and found water. Sure enough, you find the animals are congregated there. Our dear brother from Africa could attest to that, that water is a precious commodity, and you'll find animals all there. I've went back at other years, though. It was dry. there wasn't much snow melt, and it was a dry year. I went back toward the same water hole, but when I was walking down the trail, there was grass grew all up in it. I knew before I ever got there, things were changed, things were different. Can you say amen? I say it's about time that the church goes to beating the path out, back to where the Spirit of God is. Somebody say amen. I want to tell you, the Spirit of God is in the same place that it's always been. I said it's in the same place it's always been. There are still water in that well. I just need a few people to find their way in the wilderness to a well of water. Can you say amen? The devil, I was glad to hear Brother Gabbard say what he did tonight in testimony. I told them here last night, I can't remember. I'm preaching too many places, too many nights, and everything runs together, and I'm sorry. But I know it was here that I made this statement to you. I have been battling a spirit of despair in my own life. Some people say preachers ought not say stuff like that. Well, you got the wrong preacher then, is all I got to tell you. I just tell sometimes how I feel. And I have felt a spirit of despair because you get up and preach and you see somewhat of a move of God. But when you come back a year later, the grass is all growed up in the trail that was beat out. The last time that you were there, I drove down. I'm a bad tonight driver, and whatever, if you don't call that bad. But most of the time I drive at night, and I figured out I've got 3 kids, one teenager, one fixing to be teenager, and it's cheaper for me to drive at night because they sleep and I don't have to stop at the restaurant. But at night I drive. In the wee hours of the morning in the last few months, I've asked God, why? Why did you make me leave my church? Why did you make me leave where I was comfortable? Why did you make me leave where everything was going good and stick me out here when I feel like I'm beating, come on, help me here, where I feel like I'm beating my head on a wall and I don't feel like I'm accomplishing anything? Hey, brother, I got news for you, though. You know what happened to Hagar? Hagar put the child down. Probably he was half fainting from a lack of water. Come on now. Hagar was probably saw him fainting from a lack of water. And she said, I'm going to put him down here and he's going to die here. And I don't want to see it. And I'll tell you, the despair that I have fought is that nothing is happening and nothing is going to happen. And so why am I doing this anyway? Somebody might as well hear this preacher. I'm going to tell you, Hagar went away about a bow shot. I could talk about that for a little bit, but I'm not going to tonight. She went far enough away that she could not hear his cries. Oh, but while she went over there and she got down and prepared herself for the inevitable. Hallelujah. I believe I got a title, brother. This situation is not inevitable. Hallelujah. Use that. The situation is not inevitable. But she thought it was. She went over there and curled up, waiting on him to die, waiting on herself to die. Said it's hopeless. It's a hopeless situation. But while she was waiting on the inevitable, Ishmael was praying for a miracle. I need to preach to you up in here tonight. I said, while she was waiting on him to die, Ishmael was underneath that bush praying for a miracle. He wasn't asking God, let me die here and let me die fast. He was praying, I gotta have help.
and I got to heaven now. I come to tell you tonight, brother, what we're needing today is just for a handful of people in the kingdom of God to wake up and say, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to sit around here until we die, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cry out to God for a miracle out of heaven that will change our situation. She's crying over things she cannot personally change. That's what we want to do. I personally, sometimes, when I'm in the right mood, I want to grab people and grab people and yank a kink in them. Say, can't you see we got to have a revival right now? Come now. But I figured out in my life, my shaking won't waken them. Come on here now. But I believe there is a shaking from another world. I can wake the church up. Somebody say amen. I believe God is capable of it. I said, I believe God is capable of it in this day and in this hour. I'm not going to leave you off that despair business. I've been battling that this summer. And two or three weeks back, we was in a little church in Indiana. And a man stood up one night, and I hadn't told anybody. I am too much of a private person in some things, probably, and not enough in others. I hadn't talked to anybody about how I was feeling. Just brother got up. And this is what he said. And I feel like telling this to somebody tonight. He said, I retired as a 911 dispatcher. He did it for, I don't remember, but it was a lot of years. He said, in one of my few last days on the job, I guess they keep records of all these 911 calls. And he said, I got to looking back over, counting some things up. He said, to the best of my knowledge, he said, in my tenure as a 911 dispatch call receiver, I guess would be what you would say, or dispatcher, he said, I received over 20,000 phone calls where people were dying from a lack of oxygen. He had a terminology for it that they used, and I'm sorry, I did not catch that. I got hung up in the testimony, and you're going to figure out why in a minute. He said, but about 20,000 phone calls where people would call and say, I've come in, I found my granddad. He's laying here, he's not breathing. He said, I had a protocol that I went through. Check his pulse. See if you can see if his heart's beating. I touched him. There's no pulse. He's cold. There's no help for him. He's gone. Now I know who to call, who I need to send. Or somebody would say, my child's choking. They fell in the floor. All right, here's what you need to do. He said, you would go through the procedure with them. Or somebody would say, they fell over in the floor in front of us. They're not breathing. He would say, oh, he said, almost always I would ask them, do you want to try CPR? If you do, I'll walk you through the process. He said, out of 20,000 phone calls that I received, he said, there was only a handful out of all those years that what I had to say saved their life. The rest of them died. But then he said something that the Holy Ghost drove slap into my heart. He said, but I kept on answering the phone. Are y'all hearing me? I kept on answering the phone. When he said that, the Holy Ghost slapped me in the back of the head. Hey, are y'all hearing me? I said, well, I ain't seeing what I want to see, but I'm going to keep on answering the phone. I'm going to keep on asking God for a message. And maybe after a while, there'll be that one that'll say, I ain't going to wait on an inevitable death, but I'm going to wait for help from on high. Can you say amen? See, Hagar's help came from a very unexpected source. When the Lord spoke to Hagar, he said, what aileth thee? That seems kind of sometimes, hello? What he was saying that for is because of her lack of faith. What aileth thee? Am I not in control? Listen, y'all. Some that's heard me preach quite a bit has heard me say some of this right here. But I must tell you, I have very mixed emotions about testimony service. And I really do. I told them at Jersey when I was pastoring there, I said, as long as they're testimonies, I'm glad to hear them. When they turn into moanies, we're quitting it. Because most of the time anymore, that's all they are, is moanies. People stand up and say, well, the devil's been chasing me around all week, and he told me this, and the devil told me that, and the devil this, and the devil that. And by the time they get through, I'm kind of like the one fella. He said, if I would have been depressed, I'd have committed suicide after that testimony service, after the way the devil had chased us all around. I got news for y'all. You know what that is? That's a people that feel an inevitable end, that it just ain't going to get any better. Y'all ain't listening to me tonight, or y'all took sleeping pills before you come to church. Hey, listen to me right now, brother. It's time the church realizes that if God be for us, who can be against us? I'll tell you what, Hagar, wake up, quit crying and dry your eyes, for I have heard the voice of the land where he is. You say we're going to have a revival, and this and this and this has got to happen. That's not so. God said I heard him right where he's at. Right there where he is at. Right there in that place of death. Right there where it looked like nothing was going to change. I found him right there. And I believe God can turn it around. I got news for y'all. We've had a problem in America, a whole bunch of them. But one of them is we have replaced prayer with way too many things. Oh, you can get mad and throw songbooks if you want to, but it won't do no good. I'll dodge them. You're too far away from me. Hey, first they decided they would take prayer out of our school. Okay, we don't want to offend anybody. Well, that offended me. Hello? We've become way too docile. I said, that offended me. Then they wanted to take out the Bible. And let's for sure get the Ten Commandments out of here, because that makes us all feel bad. Are y'all listening to me preach? Let's get this stuff out of here. Woo, what we have replaced it with has been catastrophe. Somebody say amen. We took the Bibles out, and now we got people with guns walking in, blowing one another all to pieces. Hello? But I want to talk about something that we are a tense-bent naive as Pentecostal people about. We have traded prayer for a society that are spellcasters. Now we live in our little religious bubble, and we go to a Christian school, a lot of us, and we live in this little bitty shell. When you start talking about stuff like I'm fixing to talk about for a little bit, people start looking at you weird. and they act like you've lost your mind. But I have not lost my mind. And it's way more prevalent than prayer is in our society. Hallelujah. I had a young man look me in the eye that had been raised in the house of God, went to the Christian school and graduated. I had him look me in the eye and say, "Preacher, the reason I quit praying and started casting spells and devil worship is because God would not answer my prayers fast enough." You know what his real problem was? He didn't want to live a life that lined up with the Word of God to get his prayers answered. And when God didn't do it his way and in his time, he decided this is the way I'll do it. Are y'all hearing me? We have a society that is inundated with this spell casting business. All the way from Harry Potter. I need to preach up in here tonight to the Lords of Salem. Hey, listen to a quote. I quote this verbatim. Witches are back, and they are the new black. In 2014, they have been a part of legend and myth and reality for as long as we can remember. But these often frightful figures are no longer restricted to the underworld, are regarded as low-class citizens, are second-class characters. You could say they are in vogue. They are this year's must-have. That is a direct quote. I'm going to tell y'all the devil has come down having great wrath, knowing he has but a short time to work. And you know what the church to a lot of an extent is doing? There's nothing we can do about it. It's just the world we're living in. It's just the society we're in. There's nothing we can do to turn the tide. I tell you what, tonight, we don't need a spell from hell. We need an answer from heaven. Somebody hear this preacher tonight. Woo! I got news for you in this wilderness we're living in. He still said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I got news for you, brother. It's not an inevitable conclusion that the church is going to dry up and die. We just need somebody that'll say, "I need a miracle in my church house."
When you start thinking it is inevitable that the church is going to fail in its endeavors, you have lost your faith in an almighty God. Most of us will sit here and go, "Well, preacher, you know what? Why are you preaching like that? I don't feel that way." Then why aren't we more active in the church house than we are? Huh? Because the devil has convinced us that will not work. You worked and worked and worked, and you had 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever it is. I'll make everybody happy. 90, 100 visitors here Sunday morning. And you had, and nobody hardly, but one man out of that whole group prayed. It is a wasted effort. This is a dried up age, and there is no help for it. If that's the truth, I'm packing up tonight and going to the house and sleeping in my own bed. But I don't believe it. You ain't hearing me preach. I said, I don't believe it. I believe greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hey, brother, I don't think he's holding the winning hand. As a matter of fact, I read the back of the book. I believe we're holding, hey, brother, onto an unchanging hand of God. Hey, y'all, they don't have the power. We have the power. I said, we have the power. Somebody say amen. There was a woman in the New England states, if I remember correctly, the place.
She was a school teacher. She was a witch. How many knows that the devil doesn't play fair nor nice? The devil messes with children. Do y'all know that? If you don't know it, you ain't been reading your Bible. Huh? She said, I would cast spells on my own children in my classroom and make them do things. I can make them sick. We would get orders to do different things. She said, and I would cast spells on those that were in my care. Isn't that amazing? But she said, I began to realize that in my class, there was a handful of students that I could not cause a spell to work on them. She said, not only could I not cause it to work, if I would cast a spell of sickness on them, I would get sick. Y'all ain't feeling what I'm feeling. She said, if I cast a spirit of confusion on them, I would get confused. She said, I got to checking in. She said, every one of those children came out of a Bible-believing church with a mom and daddy that prayed. And there was nothing I could do to get that spell. It ultimately shook her until she got saved and renounced the devil. Are y'all hearing me? I come to tell you, this is not a lost cause. Somebody help this preacher. I said, this is not a lost cause. For in the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Somebody help this preacher. I come to tell you, we can have a revival today. Raise your hands and magnify God up in his. Hey. You know what the devil wants us to do? If you don't make too much noise, the devil won't notice you. Oh, y'all ain't listening to me preach now. If you don't make too much waves, the devil won't know you're around. I'm sorry. I'm like my great-granddad Parnell. He said every morning when I wake up, he said, I want the devil to go, are y'all hearing me? Hey, y'all ain't hearing me preach here tonight. Hey, brother, I got news for you. I am not interested in pacifying the enemy. I am not interested in being a part of his little scheme. I'll tell you what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the shaking the gates of hell. Somebody say amen. And some say with fear, pulling them out of the very fire. I believe revival is possible in this last hour. Years ago, back in the hills of Arkansas, around a place called Glenwood, outside of there, there's a little church called Mount Tabor. There was an old man of God there, Brother R.W. Dillard. Made a lot of impact on our country back around where I'm from and a lot of the people that I know. Brother R.W. Dillard was a faith preacher and a faith practicer. Brother Dillard got really bad sick. He got really low. And he didn't go to the doctor, and I'm not against going to the doctor. But I am saying this, if we rock on the way we're rocking right now, we're probably going to be back to asking God to heal us for long. You might as well say amen. But Brother Diller was laying there, and they kind of figured out a little what was wrong with him. And somebody told him, said, what you need is he needs quiet and rest. Old Brother Diller was anything but quiet most of the time. He was one of them good old gospel singers and shouters and kicking and bucking. Lord, don't we need a little more of that? It's about time our churches start making enough noise the devil recognizes who we are. Y'all ain't here. I said it's about time we make enough racket that it bothers the devil a little bit. If some of y'all would rear back and shout glory at the top of your lung, your protecting angel might get nervous. Hey, are y'all hearing me preach a little bit? Brother Diller was laying there day after day, and them preachers, they'd all come in there, Brother Jarvis. You know, they'd pray their little quiet prayers. Brother Claude Wiley come strolling in from California. Came walking in the house, Brother Claude did. And he was not known as a quiet, tiptoeing type of feller to start out with. None of the Wileys are that I've ever met that I know of. And he come marching in, and they said, "Oh, you got to be quiet. He's needing to heal up, Brother Diller. You know, just, you know, control. You know what they tell him? Control yourself." We've controlled ourselves so long. Until when the Spirit of God does come by, we have forgot how to let him have his way in lots of places I go to. Somebody might as well say hallelujah. Huh? We've controlled ourselves. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I'm preaching too long. Oh, well, hallelujah. Hey, I'll tell you what the problem is. This is what we want to do. We want to reach out and get a hold of the Holy Ghost. And go on our merry way. And we're no different than when we felt that little touch from heaven. That's not what we're needing today. I want you to reach out and get a hold of me. I'll tell you, that's what we're needing. We're needing something to get a hold of us that I can't shake loose from, that I can't get away from, that's got control of me. Hey, brother, we're needing that kind of move of God in this day and hour. Well, I got to hurry. Brother Claude couldn't handle that, Brother Greg, so he left them. He got a fishing pole and went fishing. That's always a good plan. He went fishing. He was gone for a couple of hours. But when he come back, they said he walked up to the front door and said, "Boom!" Kicked it wide open and it bounced off the wall. All them preachers sitting around jumped straight up in the air. They said, "Oh God, what's wrong with you, Brother Claude?" He said, "R.W. Dillard has preached the faith of God to me all my life. He is a saying it at the top of his lungs." He said, "If you're sitting around here waiting on the inevitable, but I came for a miracle. Hey, are y'all up in this house?" And he walked in and he ran across the room and jumped slam in the middle of the bed with Brother Dillard. And when he hit the bed, Brother Dillard came out the other side shouting and a dancing and a glorifying God. Are y'all hearing me? I got news for you. It's not inevitable that the church is going to die. I'll tell you what the church is going to do. She's going to rise. Before he said, "I'm coming back for a glorious church." Woo! I want to be a part. I said, "I want to be a part of that church." Raise your hands and magnify God. I'm almost through. There was a lot more here I thought I was going to preach. I got sidetracked, but that's all right. I'm going to tell you something. You know what the devil wants to make us believe? He wants to make us believe that individually we cannot make a difference. He wants to say, well, if you as the pastor, you can have power with God. Come on now. If you had faith like Brother Gabbard has displayed times through his life, you'd have the power of God. If you had the testimony of Brother Doug Webb, you might could pray the power of God down. But you know who you are. And you know all of your inadequacies. And you know all of your shortcomings. And God's not going to use you. What a lie, what a lie. I heard the voice of the lad, Hagar, where he was. Hallelujah. He didn't say it was the prominent deacon in the church. I said he didn't say it was the prominent deacon in the church. He said, I heard the voice of the lad where he was at. We have a young man in our church. We have a young man in our church back home. He's married now and has children. But when he was a little boy, some of you heard me tell this, but his mom and daddy, I don't know what they's doing in a taxidermy shop, because his daddy is anything but a hunter. And but they were in a taxidermy shop and outside of Salisaw, and there in a little place called Brushy Mountain. Brother Keith was good friends with the man that was the taxidermist, and they went in there, and I don't know what they's in there for, but they always said it was a mountain lion. I want to think it was a bobcat, but anyway, some kind of big cat. They had in a cage there, and while they wasn't paying attention, little Dustin, he was about 4 years old, got too close to that cage, and that cat, we'll just call it a cat, reached out and got a hold of him and pulled up him up against that cage. First thing they know is little Dustin is screaming bloody murder. That's what we'd have called it where I'm from. And they went running in there, and his mother, Sister Tammy's a squalling and jerk him away from that line, and he's just screaming hysterically. And so they had some little old jeans on, and they pulled his little old pants down to look at his leg, and there was no visible marks on his leg. The claws of the cat hadn't penetrated those little heavy jeans he was wearing. And so they're looking at him trying to figure out, why are you crying like this? They got to looking, Brother Greg, in there beside that cat's cage. There was a red-hot pot-bellied stove. And when that cat had grabbed that little boy, he had reached out with both of his hands in fear and grabbed a hold of that stove and had fried his hands. The inside of his hands, I mean, he had burned them horribly. How many knows a burn don't feel better in a little bit? They went to heading down. They jumped in the car and headed down the mountain. Brother Keith said, where you want to go? Said, you want to go to the hospital? She said, not first. She said, I want to go to Sister Beulah's house right down here. Good old saint of God. Let's pray first. They is headed down the mountain and they went to praying. Oh God. He is sitting there in his mama's lap screaming at the top of his lungs and bellowing like a child does. All of a sudden, Brother Doug Webb, he shut up. And he reached up and patted his mama in the face. And he said, Mama, you could quit praying now. I touched him for myself. 4 years old. And he stretched his hands out. And there ain't a scar on him anywhere today. Are y'all hearing me? I heard the voice of the lad. Where he's at. I come to tell you. The end the devil's been trying to sell you. It is not inevitable. Are y'all hearing me? All we need is a miracle. I said, all we need is a miracle from on high and a fresh undoing, a power from another world. Raise your hands and magnify God in this house. Come somewhere, bud. I've shook your hand, but I don't even know your name. That's a fault of mine and yours both, I guess. Most people walk up to me and they know who you are and they don't ever tell you what their name is, so I don't know his name. But I'm going to tell you something. Sunday morning, when this house was packed out with visitors, and everybody in here was attempting to be on their best behavior, God forgive us all. Are y'all hearing me? In the middle of the choir singing, with all them visitors here, this youngin' tore out running around the house. Are y'all here? Nobody followed you, son, and I'm sorry. I'll apologize for that. I'm a big enough man to do it. I'm sorry nobody did. But I want to tell you something. The next time that comes on you, you do it again. Somebody help me up in this house. I said, you do it again. Hey, I'm going to tell you why. After a while, it's going to catch on. And somebody else is going to decide, I'm not going to stand by and watch it happen. But I'm going to have a move of God for myself. Somebody raise your hands and say, Lord, give us a revival in this last hour. I said, give us a revival in this last hour that'll shake the gates of hell to its foundation. Raise your hands and magnify. If you want to move a God like that, I want you to get out of your pew. I want you to head toward this altar. I want you to tell God, I'm through waiting on everybody else. I'm through watching what the devil has told me is inevitable. And I came to have a move of God. I came to have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in my life.